Title that I've chosen for today is called For This Reason, and it's taken out of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Before I go there, I would like to put a plug in for a convention, if I get to say it right. There is a lot of energy placed and put into for children and for youth, and so if you think that it's boring, you come and we'll show you that it won't be boring. It's a choice you make. But I would like to encourage you for that. I think that it's always a display on Sundays what they worked for. Fridays and Saturdays, they work in preparation for Sunday morning. And we have always on Sunday mornings for the service, we do have some boring things going on for some people. Depends on where your heart is, I guess. For me, some of the things that we do, they are boring. I'm not into it. But then you got to have some things that it's just what it is. But in the morning service, we have, I think there's like three choirs. You have the little guys, and that is always the bestest for me, to see the whole platform, the whole front end is full of these little people and performing. And it takes two people to keep things going. It's super. If you don't believe me, you need to come look at it. Then we have the youth choir that performs after that. Then we have the old people come up and they do best they can. But no, they do good, so. But it really is a good thing. And now this year they have called it a youth convention, by the way, Junior, that youth conference, not convention. It's called a youth conference. And there's good subjects, and it is primarily directed for the youth, just for you. So we hope you will think about it, pray about it. For some of us, it's a week-long event, almost a week-long event, but others, you only have a couple of days. Usually by the time convention starts, I'm pretty well wore out to start with, but it's because we do a lot of committee works. It's things that have to be done, and we work at it. So, thank you for praying for the work that we were involved in 2 weeks ago in Tennessee and Belvedere. Progress is in the works. I'm not going to say a lot, but I will say that it was a very hard weekend, difficult to say the least. It was a difficult week when I got home because it was a daily thing of working, processing, going through constantly, phone calls. My phone is so full of texting. I never thought that I'd ever be doing this, but I've been doing it. And it's been there are encouraging things. And I'm encouraged by the process is better. It's still not good, but it's a whole lot better than it was when we arrived. I had to go take care of a wedding, and so things were happening fast, but we got through with the help and grace of God. In 2 weeks from today, we plan to be in Tennessee, in Whiteville, which is another area, working on leadership skill, providing leadership for the group there. It is a new work. It's a couple years old, and they don't have leadership yet, so we will be there doing that in 2 weeks. We start on Thursday nights, working our way through, and then on Sundays, finishing it. 2 days later is when the convention board meetings start, so we'll be busy during that time, and if you think about us, we appreciate your prayers in that area. Thank you for that. So, back to the lesson today. For this reason is what I've chosen to call this. It's taken out of 2 Thessalonians 2. And I'm going to read the entire chapter because I don't think I know where to break it And the reason that I'm doing that is it's verse 11 is actually my text area, and it says for this cause or reason. So we need to know what he's talking about in order to get that part. And he says it's because of this that I wrote this. And then I have my background will be taken out of 1 Kings, the 22nd chapter. And I'll have a scene there that I want to talk about. Let me read. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not so soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, and that's in italics in my Bible, except there comes a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who would oppose and exalt himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. That's a very important words there. And with all deceivableness, again, very important word, of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And then for this reason, or for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, very important statement, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast, hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your heart, establish you in every good word and work. I know that's a lot of reading. There's a long, it's kind of a long text, and I'm not going to read my background, but if you were to go to 1 Kings chapter 22, and I don't recall if I shared, I know I've preached out of that chapter before, and I'm duplicating myself, it's simply because I forgot. So if you remember, you're doing better than I am. However, in the 22nd chapter of this writing, there's a scene there that impresses me. And I'm going to try to describe that scene. And it was prior to this scene, where the story in 1 Kings, the later part of this, is about Ahab and Jezebel. Now, we talked about Jezebel earlier. I preached about that, talked about it, and we talked about Jezebel's spirit. Now, this morning I'm looking at what is actually called a lying spirit. And I was a little bit perplexed where whether I should call this sermon, you know, it didn't really fit to say this is entitled A Lying Spirit. It doesn't fit. But I'd like to say it is for this reason then, let's just leave it there, that pretty serious stuff that we're looking at here, and it seems like maybe we are seeing some of these things redone in our journeys and in our encounters today. Just a little bit wondering about it. Anyhow, this story is about Ahab and Jehoshaphat. I hope I'm saying his word right, his name. But Elijah was a prophet before, and he prophesied to them how this is all going to go, and Ahab, through Jezebel. Now, Jezebel, thank you, Jesse, for sharing that story about Samson, because it kind of fits. It's influential, very influential, about how we can be influenced to do things and fall into traps and not realize where we are at. And this is another one of those cases, but it is done by choice. And so Elijah told Ahab what's going to happen, and Ahab decided that he didn't really like that. And there was this, there was another prophet around, and he didn't like this prophet. And so he, Jehoshaphat was the king of Israel, and Ahab was the king of, I should have wrote that down, but he was another king. And Jehoshaphat came to Ahab and said, why don't we, or Ahab said, why don't you join us, because we're needing to go to war. There was like 2 years that they had not been to war. And they said, and Ahab is like, why don't you come? And so Jehoshaphat says to him, well, everything I have is yours. You know, we're brothers. We belong together. And so Jehoshaphat came, and they dressed themselves in their fancy garments, and they both sat on the throne, and they had all these things going on. And so they called on the prophets, and there were 400 prophets that said, go for it. Go do it. You can win this war. You can do it. All right. Jehoshaphat wasn't quite convinced, and he said, isn't there another prophet somewhere around here of the Lord that would verify this? And they said, yeah, there is this prophet, and I'm going to call him Micah, because I've struggled to try to figure out how to pronounce his prophet's name, and it just didn't work for me, so I'm going to call him Micah. And I don't know for sure if that's right, but that's what I'm going to call him. But Micah was a prophet that was not liked. They did not like him, and so Jehoshaphat said, let's get him and let's ask him. And Ahab said, we can do that, but I don't like him. He always talks trash. He always talks junk. He's negative. I don't like him, but okay, we'll do that. So they brought this prophet in, and there was the messenger who went to get him and said to him, now look, let me give you some information. When you come, there's 400 prophets who already prophesied and said what's going to happen. So you better say the same thing that they're saying. And this prophet Micah said, well, I'm going to say whatever the Lord tells me to say. And its truth will be truth. And that's the way it's going to be. And the messenger was like, well, you know, I'm telling you, you need to agree with the 400 prophets. Well, he comes, and they bring him in, and first thing he says to them, to Ahab and Jehoshaphat, he said, you know, I just saw out on the hills the people of Israel, they were scattered, they were all over the place, they had no leadership, they weren't given any leadership. And so they said, well, you know, we want to know what the Lord's telling you. Then he says, well, I'm going to tell you, I saw a vision. And he didn't call it a vision, but he said, I saw something, which is how it was. And he said, heaven was kind of opened up to him. And there was a meeting between the Lord and his staff. God was having a meeting with his staff. And there was conversation there. This is the prophet now talking. And he said, these people are wanting to go to war. And so God said, the Lord said, it uses the word Lord, well, who's going to convince the prophets of this? And there was a lying spirit that came forward and said, I'll do it. And the Lord said, excellent. You go do that. You go convince the prophets that they can win. And so he did. Now I'm condensing this. I have to do that. It appears that the prophets were giving a lie. No, it wasn't appeared. It did happen. The choice, I'm told, read, that the two kings had a choice. But they chose to listen to the 400 prophets. The prophet Micah, because he told them this, Ahab said, I told you so. I told you what he'd do. Go lock him up, put him on bread and water, and punish him for this. And which they did. And so this prophet Micah lost his place and was put in prison, put on bread and water, because he said the truth. Let me go back to 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 11. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusions that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. The word delusion has the idea of very strong effectual working. There's energy of deceit, if you follow through. Strong deceit. It says here that God will send it. I don't know exactly what to do with that. But the Bible is quite clear that we must stick to truth. And we better make sure we're founded on truth. Now the question is, how do you know that? Romans 1, verse 21 says, they knew God, but they didn't glorify God. And therefore, they went off on a bad way. 1 Timothy 4, 1 says, the Spirit speaks expressly or distinctly or very clearly. Now, I have questioned the scene of this prophet that I just gave you, which is very, I left a lot of stuff out, so I hope you will check it out, make sure that I said what I said was right. I'm hearing people today who say that I'm only under the influence and power of the Holy Ghost, and I don't listen to anything else, no one else, nothing else. That causes me discomfort for some reason. Where is the Bible in all this, and where is the church in this? Where is all these other things that we've been taught that are influential and supposed to help us, guide us, and stay in truth? I question that. First John 4 tells us that we are to try the spirits to make sure they are from God. I'm going to close with this story. There's a young man, his name is John. He came to me from Valdosta, Georgia. That's all I'm going to tell you about him. His mother brought him to me, thinking that I could help him. He brought with him a box and a book. And he declared up and down that in this box there were demons. And he declared up and down that this book he had was about yay big. I don't know if I told you this or not. I may have, but I'm going to tell you more. Within this book, he was tried to destroy it. And he buried it in the ground, and it wouldn't destroy. So he dug it back up, and he put it in the box with the demons. And he brought the box to my house. And he brought it in my house. I didn't let him go too far in, of course. I kind of restricted him. And as he and I were together, this book began to produce ants crawling out of this book. And so we had to get, I finally got him convinced that the book has to go out. We can't have ants in the house. Now, the whole time he is telling me that this box is full of demons. And I said, "Can you see them?" And he said, "Yes." And I said, at one point I said, "Are there demons in this room?" And he said, "Yes." Now my question is to you, what would you do if that was in your house? He declared up and down, over and over, that that box is turning colors. It's looking like blood stains on it. And I looked, and I didn't see it. He declared up and down. Let me go back to this verse, that God will give strong delusions to people. And he was seeing things and feeling things that I did not feel or sense. And when he said, "Yes, there are demons in this room," I said, "God, if there are demons in this room, why aren't you telling me this? And why are you allowing that in my house?" And I'm telling you, there were no demons in that house. Got to break this story back a little bit. Finally, they left, and they returned after a while, a couple of weeks. And he had destroyed the book. He finally did what I told him. I said, "You got to burn that book. You have to burn it. And you need to destroy this box." And he said, "Oh, can't do that. Then I'll be punished. I will be persecuted. I will be..." Okay, how will they persecute? Either the demons will come to my bed at night and they will persecute me. They will hurt me. I said, "Well, okay, but you need to destroy it." And we worked on this and worked on this, and I could sense nothing about demonic oppression or powers or anything. I sensed nothing. Anyhow, they returned with the box, and I talked him into leaving the box and let me destroy it at my pleasure. He and his mother both agreed that that could happen. I put the box in my garage. It sits on a shelf up high. If you want to see it, stop in. You can see it. It doesn't turn colors, and it doesn't have demons in it. It sets up there collecting spider webs, and those are about as demonic as they can get. But I don't think there are any demons in my shop. Well, I got a call the other night telling me, "Do you still have that box?" I said, "Yes, I still have that box." And for some reason, every time I went to destroy that box, I was distracted. And I was made to do something else, which I did. Now I'm glad I didn't destroy it. Suddenly, there was someone who knew what was going on. I still don't have it all together. I may have more later. Because the box has been saved by the nick of the whatever. I've been asked, we want the box back. Okay? You can have it back. Sure glad I didn't destroy it. We found someone who helped us. John is now smiling, social, happy, and no longer being fighting the demons. One thing I remember in that conversation, and I don't remember even a half or even a third, the mother was just like this the whole time on the phone, and I couldn't catch half of the stuff that was going on. But there are a couple of things I remember. One thing was there was a bishop who they got in touch with that has experience with this behavior and said to him that the first thing you need to do, he professed to be a Christian, he professed to know God, but he had this demonic activity going on that he declared up and down, the demons. And the mother told me over and over and over, and I'm not telling you this is fact, I'm sharing with you what she said, that her house was full of funny behaviors. Doors were opening, closing, windows were doing things, there were all kinds of crazy things happening in her house. No longer happens. He is now, like I said, this bishop said, the first thing we've got to do is he has to be baptized. And so she said he was baptized. And I don't know what they did to her. I don't have that. But I am told, she told me, life is finally better. We are finally happy. Our house is now quiet. Our house is no longer full of this activity, no longer these funny things going on. All these strange noises and all these things we see, we no longer see them and we don't hear anything. Does it mean, he said, for this cause, now it says in that early part of the chapter, it says that at the last days, there's these evil things that are going to take place. My question is, does it really happen? When Edna and I were in a place, we visited a home, and we went there with good intentions, and everything seemed normal. But before the evening was over, we were asked to leave. As we got in our car, I looked at her and I said, I feel an evil presence. And she looked at me and she said, I do too. There is something evil going on here. We went back to our bed and we went to sleep, and I woke up in the middle of the night with an evil presence in that room that was so strong and so bad and so awful that I asked Jesus to come and remove it, and he did. And I went back to sleep. The next morning, I shared with my wife, and she said, I woke up in the middle of the night with chest pains so bad, I thought somebody was standing on my body. It was so awful. And I said, what did you do? And she said, I prayed for Jesus to come and relieve me, and he immediately, it just left, just like that. And I said, what then? She said, I went back to sleep. Now, does this stuff really happen? I could tell you more. Why am I telling you this? Were we delusional? To us, it was extremely real. Did God send that? How did that all come? I'm not going to give you any answers because I don't have any. To us, these things are extremely real. Sometimes we're only the messenger. The messenger who came to the prophet Micah told him, you better do as those people say. Now, I could bring some more into that, but I'm not going to. But Micah went to prison because he told the truth. Ended up eating bread and water. That's all he had. If you look up the word delusion, psychology would say that that is something you imagine. But in the scripture, it's not something you imagine. I believe we need to stick close to the Word of God. And I believe we need to stick close to each other because we need each other to encourage each other and to keep on going the right direction. Do you have a song? 469. You can stand when you're ready. Dear God, I am glad for your presence this morning, and I'm glad for the gift that you give us in the Word of God, that Jesus Christ is the Savior. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We recognize that. We want to say thank you this morning that you have blessed us with leadership through the Holy Spirit. And we want to completely surrender to your Spirit, to you, allowing you to have full charge, full control of all that happens in our life. We just appreciate your gift to us as a church, that you have blessed us with many, many good things. And so we say thank you, and I want to express my gratitude to you for us as a family, a church, a community, and ask you to help us and bless us with courage and strength so that we can continue to be accountable to each other, to love each other, to walk together in the strength of the Word of God. Help us to be very diligent in the Word of God and the things that we are to learn and to walk in, that strength that is ours from you, that we may be able to proclaim, to walk in your ways, and to demonstrate your power and your grace in all of life. Help us now as we part from here. Keep us in your care. With you, bless us with the strength we need. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.